Oh, how rejuvenating it is on a Thursday to gather, to be refreshed, Lord, by your word and by your Holy Spirit, Lord. So we thank you for this time together. Just ask that you will be with us this evening, Lord, as Pastor Leitu delivers your message, Lord. Will we just have the ears to hear, Lord, and may we just receive it, Lord. May it give us strength and draw us closer together, Lord. So bless this time and bless us this evening, Lord. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. We say amen.
Aloha. Oh, wait. You guys are still sleeping. Aloha. We want to welcome you to Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Why don't you just have a seat? Why don't you take a seat? To all of you online and on here in the sanctuary, we want to say aloha to you. Pastor JD will be back in the pulpit this Sunday, January 8, 2023. Our Sunday services will be 8:30 a.m. and 10:45. Our midweek services are Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Happy New Year! I'm excited about what God is going to do this year. I pray that what I share tonight would encourage us. If 2023 is anything like 2022 was, buckle up. I'm kind of a numbers guy. I add up 2023, 2 plus 2 plus 3, I get 7. 7 is the number of completion, amen? I'm not date setting, but like you, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Especially when things get tough in life. Jesus said, in this life we will have tribulation. But we look to him. We may stay humble even when we fall. But in Jesus we can overcome. But I pray that you would prosper spiritually, that you would draw closer to Jesus this year, that you would follow his lead, that which he's called you to do. Looking forward to God's plan, to that which he has prepared for us from the time before we were formed in our mother's womb. Amen. Let's get into God's word. Our text tonight will be Acts 2:42. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word, to bless this new year. Father, I come before your throne to just thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do here in this place, especially today as we share your word, Lord. Would you encourage us in your word, Lord? We thank you for that which you're going to speak to us, Lord. We also pray for this new year, this upcoming year, Lord. I know that you have great plans ahead for us, your kids. So we come before you to give thanks for all that you're going to do as we, your saints, take the time to pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Koinonia. It's the word that the Lord gave me. In the early stages of my walk, I heard this word a lot. There's a Koinonia Cafe at Calvary Chapel Komomai. The well-known Christian apologist, Chuck Missler, he ran a publishing house named the Koinonia House. Koinonia is a Greek word that means fellowship. It carries with it the idea of fellowship, communion, and sharing. Jesus, he loves to see his people gather. As believers, our koinonia is first with the Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to partake of communion, and we will remember Jesus. We remember all he's done for us, and we never forget his great love, and we never forget his sacrifice on the cross. The Lord loves it when we koinonia, when his church comes together in fellowship. I'm looking forward to 2023. As I look out at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe, as I see the Lord doing a great work, I see his people doing great things. Now, no matter big or small, anything done for the Lord is blessed, especially when the Lord has called you to that work. Whether it's here at the church, maybe it's outside in the community, or a Bible study, or a home fellowship, outreaches that help the poor and needy, moms meeting with their babies and opening the word, holding up crosses on the highway, driving a cab to pick up and support those who can't drive, picking up someone and bringing them to church. Volunteers serving on Sundays and Thursdays. They come on Mondays to clean the church. Groups praying together for our church. They're in the background. You never see them, but their work is powerful. We also appreciate those prayers because they make a difference. Translators, they translate our messages into other languages. Techies, they're sharing the gospel online with the world. Children's ministry workers caring for the keiki, the kitchen girls and the coffee and snacks, the AV team and their techs, the security team as they keep constant watch, the golf cart guys as they pick up those who are parked way outside. Worship is flowing through the speakers. People who come to worship and they koinonia together. There's something that's happening while they serve. It's a blessing to see the body of Christ unite in koinonia. In Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost arrive. The disciples would witness the birth of the church. The mighty rushing wind and the flames of fire. God is present and the Holy Spirit indwells the believers. The New Testament church is forming. The Hebrew name for Pentecost is Shavuot. The Jews celebrated Shavuot ever since Moses instituted it. For 1,500 years, they celebrated it. It was a joyous time in Israel. Lambs and bulls were sacrificed. 2 loaves of bread were baked. They were baked with oil and offered to the Lord. The oil, we know, signifies the Holy Spirit. Leaven was added to the bread. At Passover, leaven was excluded, but at Pentecost, it was included in the loaves. Leaven speaks of sin. The leaven added points forward to the church, how we, the church, would never be free of sin. Pentecost was always on the first day of the week. This would be significant. It would consecrate a new day. Sunday would be the day that the Church of Christ would meet. Sunday was the day that Jesus was resurrected. Even in the Old Testament typology, God was revealing. He was showing them shadows of things to come. The church age and the new day to koinonia and to worship. So here in Acts, the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. Pentecost came 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. 10 days earlier, the disciples saw Jesus ascend to heaven. Now filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter, he boldly speaks. He shares a Holy Spirit-filled message. 3,000 people get saved and come to Christ. They were being baptized. The early church was growing and meeting regularly. The joy of the Lord was written all over their faces. You remember the day that we came to Christ? How we felt, how that sensation was. The power of the Holy Spirit had entered us. We were on fire for the Lord. You couldn't wait to tell your family and your friends about Jesus. So what if they shut you down? You kept on going because the Holy Spirit was in you. You're a new person with a new outlook on life. You started reading your Bible every day. You start going to church even on Thursday nights. The world doesn't understand you, but like Asaph, when you went into the sanctuary, you found peace. The Holy Spirit is in you and is there in the church. Koinonia is about to take place. There's God's people with open arms. You're like-minded because of Jesus. The fellowship starts and the koinonia is sweet. In the book of Acts, the same thing happened. They were blessed with the times of koinonia. In Acts 2:42, we see 4 things that the early church always did. But before we start into the Acts 2:42, let us pray. Father, we come before your throne and we thank you for your word, Lord. We lift up this time to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you teach us through your word. You instruct us. And we thank you, Lord, for how you love us and how you guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight as we took the time to pray before we teach your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. These four things occurred at every meeting. They would hear God's word taught by the disciples. The saints would fellowship and koinonia with each other, and they would break bread, and they would pray. Here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe, you find the same things. The word of God is taught. Our fellowship in koinonia is beautiful to behold. We break bread together and we pray. This happens every time we meet. At every service, these are the essentials. The early church was teaching God's word. We teach God's word. The word of God holds priority, and it should. It's our instruction book from God. It's his love letter to us, his kids. Godly men throughout the ages understood this. Not all have rightly taught God's word, but here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe, we rightly divide the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 says that they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were unwavering and unfaltering in their teaching. Teaching of the word of God had precedence. The doctrine the disciples taught was from God. They hung out with God incarnate for 3 years. The disciples did have some knowledge of God's word. Most Jewish men, they went to synagogue every Saturday. When Jesus said or did something, the scriptures foretold. The apostles, they remembered. They remembered scripture passages that they were taught. John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 testifies of this. It tells us in verse 16, and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for my house has eaten me up. Jesus is upset because the Jews are defiling his father's house. He's overturning the money changers' tables. He's cracking the whip. He's chasing people, even the animals, out of the sanctuary. The disciples with him remembered the scripture. Psalm 69:9 spoke of this. Because zeal for your father's house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. You know, the disciples may have learned this in synagogue, but Jesus is the creator of the alphabet. He is the Word. He created all things. Hanging out with Jesus incarnate for 3 years, you're going to learn something. They learned from the Creator, the one who was the beginning with the Father. Throughout the Old Testament, prophecy foretold of Jesus. I encourage you to read Isaiah 53, a powerful prophecy concerning Jesus' life. This prophecy was written 800 years before Jesus was born. And Jesus was the creative power to create John himself. Jesus constantly taught the scriptures. He taught the disciples while he was here on earth. But the disciples must have understood that Jesus taught them before he even came to earth. Let me say that again. Jesus taught them before he even came to earth, for he is the creator of all things. He is the Word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I want you to try something. I did this with my Sunday school class 21 years ago. Right now, think about something. Anything. Think about something. Whatever you thought, Jesus created whatever you thought. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. In the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters. Think of any word that you can come up with, whether it's English, Greek, Japanese, Hebrew, Samoan. Any combination of letters put together for a thought, Jesus created it because he is the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The NIV translation reads, all scripture is God-breathed. We know that God used the holy men to write the scriptures through his Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 tells us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Unsaved people don't understand God's word. They don't have the Holy Spirit within them. It's impossible for the unsaved to understand God's word, especially the spiritual truths that come from it. The Bible says, nor can they know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 tells us, but the carnal man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Bible makes no sense to those who are not born again. It's foolishness to the natural man. The last part of verse 14 brings the passage home, because these things are spiritually discerned. That means you need the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. You receive the Holy Spirit when you call out to Jesus. When you're born again, the Lord Jesus will open the scriptures to your eyes. For us who are saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us. You might struggle with some translations. There are Bible translations that are difficult to understand. The English is older and written for another time. But there are translations that are easier to read. There's the ESV, the NIV, the NLT. They are easier to understand and written for today's language. My prayer is that when you read God's word, you would understand God's heart. It's important to know God's word so that you can correctly share it as well. I tried to read the Bible before I got saved. Again, BC days. It made no sense to me, so I didn't get very far. I remember calling out to Jesus and asking him to save me. He sent Colin Cotton, who was my physical therapist. He bought me a New Living Translation study Bible, thick one. A couple of weeks later, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. A year and a half later, I finished reading the entire Bible. I like the New King James, but I have different translations. It reads like the King James, but it's written in today's English. I also have Olive Tree and Logos Bible software. And these programs are good study tools. The Bible is God's word, and it teaches us his truths. The word doctrine means teaching. We know that God's word is trustworthy, and it's reliable. There's an acronym for the word Bible. Maybe some of you may have heard it, maybe not. But it goes like this. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To rightly divide means to cut straight. When teaching God's word, you want to share what he intended. Pastor J.D., he teaches two services on Sundays. He teaches another one Thursday nights. He spends a lot of time preparing. He's been teaching Bible prophecy for a long time, ever since I've known him. I've been together with him for 18 years now. He works hard to research prophecy updates. He also works hard on his verse-by-verse teaching. He makes sure the prophecy information is correct, and he does the same thing for the Word of God. For the first time, I'm teaching 2 weeks in a row. It is taking me a long time to prepare these messages. I love the work, but it takes time to research. I don't want to share God's word inaccurately. I have a new appreciation for what Pastor JD does. He prepares God's word for 3 messages a week. I see Pastor JD's eyes on Thursday nights. He takes a respite in the back, in the prayer room, before he drives home. His eyes are weary and half shut every Thursday. But it's a work that he loves and is called to. God prepared and created him for this work. Before he was formed in his mother's womb, God prepared him. For him, it's a get to and not a got to. I've watched him for 18 years, and the passion is still there when he teaches. Pastor JD is always teaching. He's always in the pulpit. I pray that all of us would pray for him, for his family that he loves very much, for the Lord's strength over him, that the Lord would keep him healthy. Pray for the Lord's hedge of protection over him. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." You know, I love the word of God. His word gives me hope. Like you, I'm always learning. I'll never arrive. None of us will ever arrive. It teaches me when I'm wrong and it corrects me. The scriptures give me the comfort that I need when I read them. It tells me that God loves me, and I witness that love every day of my life. When I share with others in need, I'm thankful that I have God's instruction book so I can share his love, his heart, so that I can go out and teach others and minister to them, to help and comfort others who need God's comfort. I share the word of God and what he says. God's word gives them peace, and it gives me peace when I see God's word heal. Koinonia. The early church loved to fellowship, and that was the act. They loved to meet with other saints. So do we here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. I love to see when God's people talk story. I hear them talk about the goodness of God, how thankful they are for Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 tells us, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." John the Apostle is writing in this epistle. He writes that he had fellowship with God. He had fellowship with Jesus. He handled and he touched God incarnate. Jesus, the Word of Life, John, Peter, and James witnessed the transfiguration. Elijah and Moses, who had long ago died, their spirits are standing before the disciples. Then Jesus in his glory transfigures. His face beams like the sun. His clothes turn white as light. The apostles are witnessing eternal life. So John declares to the saints in all ages and us here today, their fellowship was with the Father and his Son Jesus. They tell us of their firsthand experience with God. We can learn from God's word what they witnessed. As we fellowship, we can encourage others. We can help strengthen each other. Iron sharpening iron with these truths, especially new believers who don't know the Bible. Our times in Koinonia and fellowship it can be filled with sharing and teaching God's word. Again, when I watch our church fellowship, or koinonia, I see the fullness of joy in people's demeanor. There's excitement in their eyes, a spring in their step when they walk into church here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. It's because of Jesus and his word. We have the common union with each other. The Holy Spirit connects us. We're like-minded and we share the excitement. We share that we're rapture ready and we're heaven bound. There's a sweet, what's smelling aroma of koinonia. What's beautiful is that it's happening all over the church. After service, I can walk around in the sanctuary. Pockets of people all over the place. Pastor JD has a line of people waiting to say aloha. I can walk to the kitchen. Hard to walk. There's people in the chairs and tables. They're blocking the way. You can't hardly get through the kitchen. People in the aisles, they're praying for others. The foyer is packed with people going to and fro. I'll walk outside the church. Every chair is filled. So they're on the walls. The parking lot is spotted with groups of people. They want to get the last word in. So out to the cars they go. The Holy Spirit is moving. Jesus is with us, and we rejoice. Many of you online experience the same thing in your churches. Some of you online don't have a church fellowship. For whatever reason, you're not attending a fellowship. So you watch Calvary Chapel online. I wish you could see the koinonia that happens here in this place. There are many visitors who come to Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. You come from all over the world. We're blessed that you took the time and expenses to come and visit us. I know that your visit was blessed because you saw the love and the koinonia that was here in this place. But for you who can only watch the teachings, be encouraged. The day is coming that this koinonia will happen in heaven. And we say with you, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come already. The early church, they would pray. I know of many of you have devotional lives, whether it's the Bible or a devotional book. Your fellowship with the Lord includes prayer. Maybe you commune with God in the morning. Some of you at lunchtime at work. Some of you after work, at home in the evenings. Some talk to Jesus all during the day. It's a blessing that we can even talk to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. The first temple in Jerusalem is now completed. Solomon prays before the Lord. Then he dedicated the temple and he also made sacrifices. The Lord tells Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So God appears to Solomon in a dream. This is the area that God would choose to offer his son. This is where the crucifixion of Jesus would take place. This is the same place that Abraham took his son, Isaac. This is where Abraham almost sacrificed his son. This is where God would give his only son, Jesus the Christ. In verse 14, God says to Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, humility is attractive to God, but pride is offensive. When we humble ourselves, God hears and he sees. Humility is the catalyst for God to work on our behalf. Proverbs 16, verses 18 through 19, tells us pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. When I first came to Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, we were meeting in a Seventh-day Adventist church 18 years ago. I would lead worship, but we had to set up. Jimmy would bring his entire drum set, and look at this drum set behind me. Jimmy would set that up every Sunday. We would set up the entire stage, mics, music stands, monitors, amplifiers, instruments. After church, we would have to knock it all down. We were younger at the time. We spent much time in prayer for a church building. Pastor JD, he was always checking online. I always drove around looking for a place that we could meet. Then the Seventh-day Adventist pastor called Pastor JD. They wanted us to find another place to meet. You know, they were good to us, but it was God's choreographing. He was working all things out for our good according to his plan. But our prayers did go into overdrive. And not long after, the Lord led us to this property. The rest is his story. Not history, but his story, what Jesus did. The Lord blessed us with a bus-up building. Bus-up means busted up. But he also provided the people for the demolition. And he provided a builder for the restoration. The SDA leadership, they came to the dedication of this building. They were amazed at what God did. We thank them for the years that they rented to us. We know that it was all composed by the Lord. We know that Jesus heard our prayers. The early church, they broke bread together. The early church would break bread at every service. They would potluck and people would bring food. They would partake of communion as well. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 8 tells us, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Paul was on his third missionary journey. Paul spent 7 days in Troas. Troas was in the land of Troy, present-day Turkey. In those days, travel was by horse and cart. The next day he would leave for Assos, but while in Troas, he would teach and preach for as long as he could. And again, he stayed up till 12 o'clock at night preaching. Paul is teaching in a home church, and according to the Hebrew calendar, the first day of the week is Sunday. Saturday is the seventh. Again, the early church met on Sundays. It became known as the Lord's Day. Again, it was a day that Jesus was resurrected. So the church adopted Sunday as a day to meet. The early church usually met at someone's house. They would share meals together. They would call it the love or agape feast. But the agape feast was getting out of hand. The love feast was losing the love. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 22 tells us, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So there's divisions within the early church. Cliques are forming, and they stuck only to themselves. They didn't fellowship with others. There wasn't that sweet koinonia. Verse 19 again says, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Paul is saying that factions can be a good thing. When you see those whose hearts cause division, you'll notice those with pure hearts. We spoke about the pure hearts last week. I love what Warren Wiersbe wrote about verse 19. While Paul condemned this selfish practice, the practice of creating divisions, he did take a positive view of the results. At least God would use this to reveal those who were true believers. True believers who love God, they stand out in a crowd, even in a church setting. I pray that we would always stand out, that we'd be different, and that we would make a difference, that we would unite people and not divide people. Verse 20 continues, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise you. People were coming for potluck and wine in that early church, and they got drunk. They didn't care about the poor, if they ate or not. Men would jump in line to eat before the women and children. That is an anathema in the Samoan culture. Women and children always ate first. Jesus is nowhere in their minds. So Paul rebukes them. Later he warns the Corinthians, do not partake in the Lord's Supper unworthily, for surely judgment will come your way. So examine yourselves and confess your sins. Do that before you take communion. I urge you to do that tonight as well when we partake. I pray that if there's any unconfessed sin that you have in your heart before we take communion tonight, that you would confess it to the Lord. As unholy and unloving as these feasts were getting, the early church would also partake of communion. You know, the word koinonia is special. It means fellowship, but love is so key. Saints spending time in love with other saints, remembering Jesus together in communion. That's what gives me joy when I watch the koinonia here in this place. You know, we're also called to do a good work, sharing the gospel to the world. It works better when people love each other, when we're more selfless and less selfish. Again, when we're more selfless and less selfish. I know the early church, they shared the gospel. There may be someone here or online, someone who may not be saved. You may be hearing this for the first time. So I want to share the gospel tonight. God loves you, but God will never force anyone to accept him. But he is patient. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In the Bible, the word repent is a good word. Repent means to turn and to change direction, to stop running from God, start running towards him. Also in the Bible, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus is rich. He's a powerful man in Israel. He's also a priest, but yet he's searching for truth. Jesus was healing the sick. He healed the lame, the leper, and the blind. He even raised a young girl and Lazarus from the dead. So here's Nicodemus, rich, powerful, religious, and wealthy. He's a priest who knows God. But Nicodemus was still empty inside. He's not sure if he's going to make it to heaven. And that's why he came to Jesus. Maybe some of us feel the same way as Nicodemus. Like him, maybe you're wealthy and prosperous, or maybe you have nothing at all. Your heart is empty inside. Like Nicodemus, you want to know God. You want to know how it is that you can make it to heaven. Jesus answered Nicodemus in John 3:3. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God says the same thing to us today. We need to be born again in order to get to heaven. The phrase born again means to be born from above. It's a spiritual birth that can only come from God. Our first birth is when we're born from our mother's womb. We need to be born again. The Holy Spirit will enter that new birth, and he starts to change that person's life. So what kind of changes does the Holy Spirit make in a life? Alcoholics get sober. Drug addicts throw away their drugs. A thief no longer steals. Someone who swears a lot, he cusses no more. A husband and wife who constantly fight, they stop fighting. As their love for God grows, so does their love for each other. This person is now being guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You might be saying in your heart right now, you in the sanctuary, maybe you're not saved, or you online. You might be saying right now, you want this for your life. God wants this for your life. Some of us are suffering with physical ailments. You're in so much pain. Many of us are simply struggling with life. We all need healing. I submit to you the healing that we need is from Jesus. Amen? Amen. We all need him, and we all need to be born again. Right now, you feel God tugging at your heart. Right now is a good time to call out to Jesus to save you, to trust that Jesus will keep his promise that you'll make it to heaven. Don't forget, God never breaks his promises. So what must I do? Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call out to Jesus to help you, to save you, to save you from an eternity in a place called hell. Be sincere when you pray and ask him to come in. He'll know, and he'll respond. You know that he responded because your life will change. Tonight we're going to partake of communion. For us here in the sanctuary, take your cups and you can take the seals off. Let's wait and partake together. You know, Jesus lived a life without ever having sinned. The unleavened bread reminds us he was God come in the flesh. God would send his son in a human body. His son, who is divine, could resist sin's pull. For us, that's huge. Because of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sins. The spotless Lamb of God. He's the only sacrifice that God would accept. The traditional matzah bread, it had holes and stripes in it. The Jews ate it at Passover. For Christians, we know this represents the beating that he took. The holes in his head from the crown of thorns, they blindfolded him and hit him. They said to him, prophesy who hit you. Jesus knows exactly who hit him. They scourged and tore his back open. They nailed his hands and feet to the cross. They pierced his side, and water and blood gushed out. The birth of the church was illustrated as Jesus died. And so we never forget. We never forget the covenant and Jesus' blood as well. The old covenant Moses received. It was only a shadow of a better covenant to come. The sacrificial system was a bloody mess. Animal sacrifices were all over the place. It couldn't remove sin. It only covered it. Kofar in the Hebrew language. It was temporary until Jesus came. His blood cleansed us of sin. He came so we could be forgiven. He came so we could receive salvation. He brought a better covenant between God and man. As we think of the word koinonia, Jesus came to have koinonia with us. Jesus wants our koinonia to be glued with love. He came so we could koinonia with each other. He came so that we could have koinonia with him in heaven. Let us hold on to the bread. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also received, delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne and we thank you, Lord, for the cross. Father, we ask forgiveness, Lord, that our sin, because of our sin, you had to initiate the cross, Lord. And so we come before you, Lord, and thank you and ask forgiveness for our sin, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross and your body was broken for us, Lord. And we never forget, Lord, that which you did for us. Lord, each and every day we get up, we remember. And so we thank you, Lord, for that which you have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Let us partake of the bread together. Then Jesus speaking says in verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Again, Lord, we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness that you had your blood was poured out for us. Lord, we thank you that you gave your body and your blood so that we could be saved. Lord, we never forget how good you are and the love that you had for the Father in obedience, the love that you had for us, Lord, that you would give your life as a sacrifice. So Jesus, we never forget, and we come before your throne tonight to just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that you so deserve because you are God. And we remember and we will never forget. And then one day we'll be breaking bread with you in heaven. We look so forward to that day, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand? Lord, we come before your throne tonight and we thank you for your word that you would teach us about koinonia. But koinonia is key and you love it so much when there's much love that is involved with koinonia, Lord, in our time of fellowship. So we come before you to just thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do, Lord, in this new year, 2023. We look forward, Lord, to that which you're going to do, Lord. We love you, we praise you. Lord, we pray that you would encourage your saints, strengthen them, watch over them, bless them, heal them, Lord, those who need healing. We ask for your blessings, Lord, and give thanks for all that you do for us, Lord. We never forget. And again, we never forget the cross. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.